Amen. Let us stand now for our confession of faith, which this morning is taken from 1 Timothy. Let us share in it together responsibly. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, and to whom we now testify. Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Please. Our prayer this morning is the Epiphany Prayer. When you have found it on the screen, let us prepare to share in it together in unison. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, you made of one blood all nations, and by the star in the east revealed him whose name is Emmanuel. Enable us who know your presence with us so to proclaim his unsearchable riches, that all may come to his light and bow before the brightness of his rising, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 6, and Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. From Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." Our second scripture lesson, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let me call our attention again to lectionary readings that have been shared with you from Isaiah and then from the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with Isaiah 60th chapter, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6b. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Verse 6b, they shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the name of the Lord. And now from the Gospel of Matthew, second chapter, verses 1 through 3. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Both of these texts, the Old Testament from Isaiah and the Gospel from Matthew, highlight the duality of our human existence. There is, on the one hand, the reality of the forces of darkness in the world and in our own lives. And yet there is, on the other hand, the reality which God would set before us regarding the forces of light. The prophet Isaiah says in the second verse of his 60th chapter, "For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." And the prophet Isaiah first spoke these words to the people of Israel during a time of great travail for the nation, because the Israelites during that period had become a captive people. Their homes and fields were raided and abandoned and laid bare and made desolate by foreign invaders. "For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." The word darkness, as we know, is a powerful metaphor. Darkness usually signifies the things we most dread. Criminals are more likely to prefer the dark than they are the light. Fear is more prevalent in the darkness, and human ignorance is associated with darkness. Scripture tells us that there will come a time when people will love the darkness more than the light. And this may well be the time we're living in now, where some people value lies, disinformation, and half-truths more than they value honesty and truth. Where a prominent television station quickly and falsely implies that a foreigner in a truck crossing over our southern borders was involved in the tragic New Year's night terrorist event in New Orleans. And 8 minutes later, the president-elect issues a statement about quote-unquote criminals coming in from other countries. Subsequently, members of the president-elect's own family adding further fuel to the lie by posting on the social media platform X, quote-unquote, Biden's parting gift to America. Migrant terrorists, shut the border down. And of course, the lies and the disinformation about this tragic incident were circulated faster than the facts and the truth, which of course is that there is yet another, this was yet another example of domestic and homegrown terrorism initiated by someone who never had to cross our southern borders because he was born and raised in the USA. So scripture is true when it says there will be times when people will love darkness more than they love the light. And I do believe we may be living in one of those times right now. When the model of the Washington Post newspaper, one of our nation's leading newspapers, is that quote unquote democracy dies in darkness. And yet, the newspaper's owner, the owner of Amazon, and himself one of the richest men in the world, on the eve of one of the country's most pivotal national elections, directs his newspaper's editorial board to pull its endorsement of their preferred candidate for president. And I believe we've learned a lot about ourselves as a nation and as individuals in this past 2024 election year. And we will continue to learn even more about ourselves in 2025 and in the years to come when it comes to standing against the forces of darkness all around us and standing up for the forces of light that are seeking to break forth and take hold in our lives despite these forces of darkness around us. Our text from Isaiah says, again in his opening verses, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And one should assume that no one wants to be kept, quote unquote, in the dark. Unless, of course, they're doing wrong. Darkness hides our misdeeds, whereas light reveals our misdeeds in all of their ugliness. So verse 2 of Isaiah's text this morning reminds us that the world initially was in deep darkness. Ignorance and evil were both ascendant as they are today. And yet the prophet Isaiah also anticipated the coming of those wise men. Some hundreds of years later that we read about in our text from Matthew's gospel. The prophet Isaiah doesn't just point to the deep darkness that exists in the world around us and among us, but more importantly, he introduces the antidote and the countervailing force that is oppositional to this darkness. In the New International Translation, our text says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." And these were, in fact, prophetic words that would literally come true some centuries later. The prophet Isaiah might not have known or perfectly understood the full import of what would happen when this prophecy would ultimately come to fruition in the birth of Jesus Christ some centuries later. As a prophet, Isaiah only gave voice to what God had spoken to his spirit and had laid upon his heart to say, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." And this is the antidote for and the oppositional reality to those forces of darkness that exist among us and around us. This is the antidote for and the oppositional reality to those forces of darkness that God has given us power now to contend with. God has given us this power now through the birth of Jesus Christ. For the true gift of Christmas, it doesn't just end on Christmas Day. The true gift of Christmas is meant to remain under our tree every day. And to last as a gift we can hold on to for a lifetime. Yes. Because in the birth of Jesus, God is saying to us and to anyone else who would care to listen, "I am with you as you go up against those dark forces of the world around you. And I am with you as you seek to stave off those dark forces that are vying for control of your mind, body, and spirit." Every day we exist in the world, there is a contest going on. Who is going to wield ultimate control of our lives? The forces of darkness or the forces of light? Without the light that God gives us, we have limited or no power to contest those challenging forces of darkness that exist everywhere around us. But we know that the light that has now come into the world through Jesus Christ gives us the power, the antidote to contend, to contest against, and to ultimately overcome any and all things that those forces of darkness can throw against us. In the birth of Jesus, God is saying to a broken and darkened world, I am with you. And we know, of course, that one of the moments or names associated with Jesus is what? Emmanuel. In echoing an earlier prophecy of the same prophet Isaiah, the gospel writer Matthew, in his first chapter, writes this about the virgin birth of Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This was the prophet Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And with the birth of Jesus comes this greater light that another gospel writer, John, speaks of in his opening chapter. In verses 3-9 of John's first chapter, John writes, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, meaning John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And this light is meant to be a countervailing force against any and every form of darkness known to humanity. So it's no wonder then that both of our texts this morning on this Epiphany Sunday are characterized by light and provide guidance, assurance, and comfort to those seeking to navigate their way through the world's darkness. In our text from Matthew's gospel, even though wise men from the east came to Jerusalem following the light of a star, our text from Matthew's second chapter, verse 3 says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened. Not only King Herod, but all Jerusalem with him. For King Herod himself was someone who had become accustomed to living in darkness. I don't know if you know this about Herod, but he had murdered a number of people in order to protect his power and his privileges as king, including even his wife, his three sons, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, and an uncle, just to name a few. And his crowning cruelty, of course, would be his later attempt to murder all of the infant boys in Bethlehem of Judea. In his vain attempt to kill this newborn king of the Jews. philosopher Plato once wrote, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark, but the real tragedy of life is when adults are afraid of the light." So our role as people of faith in this brand new year of 2025 will be to do as the wise men did and diligently search out the light. And once we have found this light, our role as people of faith in this brand new year will be to keep this light secure in our hearts by keeping our focus on the light of Jesus that has come once again into a darkened world. And once we have searched out and secured this light, our role as people of faith in this brand new year will be to walk in the light. This is what the wise men did once they departed after offering this newborn child their gifts. Instead of returning to King Herod, as King Herod had requested them to do, Matthew's text says at its conclusion, "Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." They were continuing to live their lives in the light of this newborn king. When we choose to walk in the light of Jesus, we will commit our full lives and purpose to him. I close with a story Philip Yancey, in his book, Reaching the Invisible God, tells about a surgeon friend of his who performs delicate surgery to rebuild the human hand after a severe injury. The surgeon friend, whenever he gets a call that there has been an accident, knows that he will be staring into a microscope and doing delicate surgery for at least 6 hours. And this can happen at any hour of the day or any hour of the night. And on one occasion, he was called at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was worried about being able to concentrate enough during the surgery, so he hit upon a novel approach that helped him. He called his father, even though he was waking his father up at 3 o'clock a.m., and told his father that he was going to dedicate this surgery to him. Then during the 6 hours of surgery, he imagined that his father was there with him, encouraging him, and even putting his hand on the doctor's shoulder during the surgery. The doctor reported that this technique was so successful that he decided to dedicate all of his surgeries to someone. So he would call a friend or a relative and tell them that he was about to enter surgery and that this coming surgery was dedicated to that individual. But finally, he hit upon the idea of dedicating the surgery to God. And he reported that it was amazing the power of such dedication. He could sense that God was with him. For this doctor, it was a specific way of living for God.
It was a way of living his life and fulfilling his purpose in the light of God's presence. And beloved, we should do likewise. We should live our lives with the same sense of purpose that we are dedicating every precious moment of our lives to walking in the full light of Christ, our Savior. Prophet Isaiah says again, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And the words of a familiar song are appropriate to close us out on this first Sunday of this brand new year of 2025. Walk in the light. The beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Beloved, if you choose to do nothing else in this brand new year, choose to walk in the light of Christ, your Savior. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things to be so. We open our hearts.